Now, regular listeners might remember a conversation that I had with Blueprint friend Annie Smithers on the controversial subject of my preference for cold toast. Yeah, I know, I'm one of those people. Now, after some soul searching, I have worked out where that preference came from. It's a childhood thing, of course. It all goes back to the motels of the late 60s and little wax paper envelopes of white toast delivered through the breakfast hatch with all those other slowly congealing bits of the standard motel breakfast. A lifelong habit was born, cold toast. I did love it. If you're an Australian of a certain age, or perhaps even a mid-century obsessed hipster, you will love the country's motels, cold toast aside. And my guest, it's fair to say, shares that enthusiasm. Tim Ross, author, broadcaster, architecture nerd. He has been working on a new exhibition at Canberra's National Archives called Reception This Way, Motels, A Sentimental Journey. On now in Canberra, it'll be around the country before you know where you are. He's even turned his motel enthusiasm into a live show. There's a book, The Full Catastrophe. Tim, welcome.
Jonathan, good to be with you. And I was just thinking about cold toast. And there's something great about the way that the butter doesn't melt. Mm. And that's where the joy comes from.
This is what you want. This is what you want, a layer of butter, unmolested
by
heat.
Once it's gone, once the butter's on and it's too hot, you don't really get the butter.
Well, Tim, thank you.
Yeah, I like it. But it does make me think about that's the formative power of these places. And I always say that we weren't exactly a forward, you know, our family didn't really, we got all the appliances years later. So we didn't get a colour TV until in the early 1980s. So staying in a motel where you could lie in bed and watch colour TV.
Colour TV was a treat.
With an electric blanket on full bore was pretty magical. And also on the funny old side of the mountain we lived in the Mornington Peninsula in Melbourne, we had the worst aerial. So we could get the ABC, we got the SBS before they changed from 0 to 28, and then sometimes we could get Channel 9, depending on how the weather was. And it used to ghost sometimes into another Channel 9 regional. So you'd get one channel on top of the other. Hence my being a child of really who just watched the ABC. It's a reason I quite enjoyed working for the ABC on and off over the years as well.
But I can remember the motel signs, you know, at the side of the road. One of the things they say, colour TV. That was a big selling point. It was a wonderful thing. Do you remember the first time you stayed in one? What was your first motel?
I'd love that about the TVs, because one of the photos that emerged, or the exhibition is of the Travelodge, I think it is in Canberra, that opened in the early 1960s, and it had spots for TV. In 1962, it had spots for TVs because TVs hadn't arrived in Canberra yet. So it was like, when TV comes, we've got the spot for it. But I vividly remember one in Mildura, which I think must have been 1975 or 1976. I remember the brown brick walls, and I remember top and tailing with my brother, and it had sort of quite almost fluorescent green bedspreads. And I remember rubbing my face against the brick wall in the morning because my brother was sort of kicking me into it. And it seemed so modern. It seemed so exciting. And we'd stayed at funny old guest houses, and we'd camped on other holidays. Or as the youngest, I was often left behind with my grandmother and didn't get to go to places. So it was pretty exciting. At that stage, I don't remember the breakfast hatch because I don't think we ever used it or rarely used it. So it was very exciting if we ever did get to have the breakfast. We often,
special thing, the breakfast hatch.
Yeah, Mum would always take the Weet-Bix in her bag and with some plastic bowls and we'd use the sugar from the rooms and maybe the milk, but that was it. It was good like that. She'd make the holiday dollars stretch as far as they could.
The Australian experience of the motel, is that just a direct American import? What's the origin story here?
Well, very much so. You know, there's this idea that we got things later, and we certainly did to a certain extent, but it didn't take long for things to catch on. And often, you know, the magazines would arrive, you know, maybe 2 weeks later, sometimes 3 weeks later. And certainly things were in popular culture. And because of our isolation, we always have been interested in what's happened overseas. And so you see the impact of Hollywood movies of the 1920s and 30s in our Spanish-inspired houses, certainly in the inner suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne. And a similar thing happened. You know, there was something going on with motels, and they seemed incredibly sophisticated and interesting. And it was just basically a race to get them up and running in this country. So there's a whole bunch of businessmen who were going for it. What made it particularly Aussie, I suppose, is the way that it happened. And quite often there was developers or, you know, funny old mum and dads who'd take a photo out of a magazine or a book, or some would travel to America and come back with a few photos. And they'd just simply hand them over to their builder or their draftsperson and say, can you do this for me? And so we often got quite wonky look versions of American motels. So the proportions of the bits and pieces were all out of whack. But certainly people responded to them. And, you know, Robin Boyd famously derided them. And I think he misunderstood the attraction, you know. And Robin was, you know, God love him, and he was brilliant. But he was prone to being a snob, I think. And so he didn't understand why people liked them. But it was basically like you were jumping into an Elvis movie.
Didn't he go on to make one himself, to design a motel?
Well, that was the thing with David Yankin. And there was just this desire to create motels that were more in Australian style. Mm. And that was certainly Robin's bag.
An Australian vernacular, old boy.
Yeah. And he did that in Maroombula with the Black Dolphin Motel, which they called an architectural tranquilizer between Melbourne and Sydney. And it used the local timbers because one of the guys from the timber yard was one of the owners of the hotel or motel. And they did a lot of advertising to try and get people's head around it, and it was incredibly difficult in those times to get the right people to staff it. It was full of wonderful Danish furniture. And Robin spent a lot of time thinking about the design of the room, and each one of the rooms had an outlook at the back, which is rare for a motel room. Mm. And he also, quite brilliantly, put the toilet and the bathroom at the front of the motel room. So that was like that blocked you from the sound from the road. And quite often motels, they do the reverse, which is a bit silly. So it was all about taking you away from where you parked your car. And a lot of people, I suppose, want to open up the window to keep an eye on the Falcon or the AH back in the day. The bit I loved about it was that David Yankin, who was running it, was desperately trying to find someone who could cook croissants for breakfast, because it was all about trying to have the best food. And he couldn't find a chef in that time that could do them. And he finally got one, this guy from the Navy. He was an ex-Navy chef. And it took him 4 weeks to perfect one. And he got them out on a particular day, and they came out of the oven, and David went, oh, these are amazing. And then the next day he quit.
A brief croissant honeymoon. I mean, the American precedence here, I mean, it's no mistake. I mean, these are two countries, big countries, countries of travel, countries where the car is, you know, the significant way of getting about. And I mean, for young listeners now, car travel in this country in the 60s and 70s was a totally different kettle of fish to what it is these days between the big cities.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, that idea that they were difficult drives and you would go through every town and you would decide to stop. You know, people had their personal places that they would like to stop, and you would, and oh, no, vacancy, bang. We'll just pull in here and we'll stay the night and we'll eat there as well. In those days, most of them had restaurants, bistros and bars, that because there wasn't really any other options. One of the things that it's important to think about with the motels, until they came along, the idea that you could park your car out the front was pretty good because people wanted to keep an eye on them. But most people stayed in hotels where you shared a bathroom. So the fact you could have your own bathroom was a rarity. And then, of course, you add this sort of Americana to it. But then we found our own take on them, particularly in the sort of late 1970s and into the 1980s, when we started rolling around in our colonial history. So we sort of saw the rise of the colonial motor in, and, you know, with all the sort of wagons out the front, we still had a bit of Americana to them, but they were all sort of, you know, based on explorers or some sort of gold rush motifs. And where the big change came was just a building change, which was that the motels started to, they were brick veneer. So they were a bit more like our housing. Mm. They looked more like the homes that we were building at the time, rather than, you know, that American style motel that we'd seen in the 60s. So we certainly did start to see a more Australian style to them. And I think the other thing that was the big difference is that sort of seedy underbelly that came with motels in America hasn't happened so much here. Yes, there's those ones with the spa rooms and there's day rates, but then they're less associated with places where, you know, unsavory acts happen. And that's pretty much driven a lot by some really wonderfully old-fashioned people, particularly from our regional areas, who just are really attached to them. And they feel safe going to a motel. They want to see their car out the front. And, you know, to be honest, it's much easier to pull up and get a key and a 600 mil of milk off someone than to find a key safe or meet someone for an Airbnb in lots of ways.
So I love that detail of that experience of the, you know, the pulling in late at night, getting your little carton of milk and shuttling off to your room. I think that's suddenly everybody's in that space. We all remember that.
Yeah, and the varying degrees of someone being cranky when they opened up the door.
Yes.
And then that person you'd see at the door, and then later on they were your waiter at the bistro, and then they went off to the kitchen to give the order to the chef who happened to be them. And so they'd be cooking your meal, pretending to be the waiter. And you hear there's people have been coming out of the woodworks who grew up in them. And we had this one particularly wonderful photo of a motel in Blakehurst in Sydney. And there's a photo from the sort of early 1970s, and there's a pool there. And I'd put it in the book and I'd put it in my live show because it was this sort of, it was a great way to have a conversation about the classic conversation about does it have a pool, Dad, or does it have a pool, Mum? and no matter how green and murky and disgusting the pool was, as kids we'd always jump into it. But this particular motel where there's no shade around it, you know, ridiculous. And it's basically a pool in the car park right on the main road. And it's got this terrible sort of arc welded fence. And it was before mandatory pool fencing, which was a bit strange because people tended not to put things up just for safety before they had to in this country. And then this guy came to the show and he'd been to the exhibition, and his mother and father had owned it for a while. And they'd had this issue with people. It was on the main drag. And when it was 40 degrees, people would stop their cars by the side of the road and the whole family would jump out of the Valiant, run in and have a quick dip in the pool and then get back into the car. So they put the barricade in there to stop strangers from swimming in the pool. Stop by the side of the road.
Guests only. I guess the thing that changed is the roads, the you know, the dual lanes, the Hume Freeway, the bypassing of the towns, and suddenly the need for that midway stop evaporates.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we also, and then we had this sort of expansion of cheap airfares, and we stopped even bypassing the town. We were bypassing the country entirely. And I think we lose something when we don't interact with those smaller places. They say, you know, stop and stay somewhere for the night and meet someone, you get a vanilla slice or whatever it is. If we do that, we create little connections with different places in the country. So when, you know, there's a drought or a bushfire or something, we can identify with that place. And if we stop doing that, I think that's when the divisions arrive. So the more that we can keep these motels alive and people say, oh, you know what, I can stop on the way or I can stay in this funny little place. And there's lots of great examples of motels that are being, you know, brought back to life and in varying ways, and people are really responding to that because really kids like them in the, you know, that's what I noticed about it was my kids like them exactly the way, same way that my brothers and I did. They jump up and down on the bed and they run in, like, oh, what's this door here? Oh, it's a bathroom. And they're surprised by it every time they open up the fridge like we did, find two little, you know, little glasses in the fridge. Oh, what else is there? Oh, there's biscuits that are free. They're all simple but magical moments.
They're delightful. Tim, thank you. Thank you for collecting them for us, for our consideration. Tim Ross, he's an author, a broadcaster, architecture nerd. The exhibition at Canberra's National Archives is Reception This Way, Motels, A Sentimental Journey. It's on there in Canberra until September 4. But, Tim, you think it will girdle the country subsequently?
Yeah, every wonderful little regional gallery will take it at some stage, all things going well, which is lovely. And it's been so great the reason we go into the archives and find these photos is that they tell more stories, and the more that we tell our stories, the richer we become.
Tim, thank you.
Jonathan, always a pleasure, mate. Thank you for your support.
Blueprint on Radio National.